have to foul now.
4-point lead. Here comes Fox. 5 seconds remaining. Fox to Wemby. Wemby tries a three, puts it up, off the mark. Anunoby the rebound. It's over. It's over. Knick fans, this is not a dream. Your long, long wait has ended. Go ahead and cry. After 53 years, the Knicks are finally NBA champions once again.
I am Jacques.
And I'm Raymond.
And we're the fabulous Rougeau brothers.
And you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Yeah.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Your shows, your entertainment, and your network. This is Rant EM Media.
Remember, what this network wants, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on Rant EM Radio. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
All right, episode 520 of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. You know who this is. I don't have to tell you anymore. But if you're new here, I am, as always, your gracious host, the Messiah of Memories, the Yoda of Yesteryear, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Rea. And for almost, what I have to do the math, so it's 12 to 24, so it's 12, 22, I got to do the math here, so hold on a second. Yeah, 14 years. Next month. 14 years we're doing this thing. I'll get into that in a few minutes, but welcome to episode 520 of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. I had to look back on what number this was because I don't do many of them anymore, so I have to check the last episode to make sure that I had the right one, the right number. And I was on YouTube the other day looking at, I found some old clips of ours from when we did the YouTube feed and the live feed at the same time when it was myself, Jay, and Choppy. We were at one of Choppy's apartments, and Hammer was with us. Young Hammer, who just turned 19 yesterday. It was crazy, right? 19 years old. So he's been with me since the beginning, and he's my main inspiration for the podcast. And the other day, I was getting a text message from Shining Wizards Tony before Game 4 of the NBA Finals, and he's like, he's wishing me luck, you know, because he knows we're struggling. Fans are struggling here for over 50 years, right? And he said to me, like, you know, I feel a philatorial coming. And I was like, yeah, of course, you know. Obviously, they didn't win till last night, and I'll get into the whole of that in a minute. That's why I'm here. But it's been an interesting several weeks. Yeah, July 3rd is the anniversary of Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We started this in 2012. I won't know until this week, but I'm probably moving right around July 31st, August 1st. So I won't be doing the anniversary show the first weekend of July because I'm probably going to be working some overtime to get some extra cash from my move. And then the next week after that, I'll be in Chicago for the G1, for the beginning of the G1. And so it's probably going to be either July 13th, because I have that Monday off after the G1, or the 17th, which is that Friday evening. I don't know if I'm going to go live, if we're going to have guests. I don't know. It's going to be the anniversary show, but the throwback is going to be the 86 Great American Bash. It's the 40th anniversary of Dusty Rhodes' very last title run as the heavyweight champion of the world, the NWA heavyweight champion of the world. We just celebrated, well, not actually celebrated, but we just recognized his passing a couple days ago. It's been like 7 years, I think, since we lost the Dream, you know? So, yeah, and it's, you know, a lot of shit. Like, I'm going to be starting to live out of boxes soon, and I already packed like a third of my bedroom already, and I'm only moving a third of a mile. I'm not going very far. I'm very excited about, I'm not excited about paying more money for rent, but I'm going to have more room, actually. So we'll have Studio P back. I'll have an extra room for Studio P, so I could be recording and podcasting out of an extra room. So I'm excited about that aspect of it. And it's a better place, bigger space, like I said. All the amenities would be there for me, which is pretty cool. I don't have to go to a laundromat no more. You know, stuff like that. And I'm excited about that. I'm going to be around people who are like family, who are owners of the buildings or the home. It's actually a house, not even a building. It's a house. It's like a two-family type of deal, you know. But I'll be on the first floor. And I'm pretty excited about that. I'm excited about being able to walk to the bus stop without taking an Uber when it rains or snows to the bus stop. I can walk to the bus stop now. It's closer. A lot of good factors. I wasn't going to stay out here on the island. I was going to try to move back home to Queens, maybe Brooklyn, but I realized that I can't afford to live anywhere else right now. It's been insanely, since I last moved, rents have gone up almost $1,000 a month extra. So that was like 6 years ago. With that being said, I gotta, you know, make a move. And I didn't have to move bed where I live. It's disgusting. It's not maintained very well. I remember telling you guys I had some damage in my living room from a leak from upstairs, from a leak in the ceiling. It's constantly smells like a fraternity house in the hallway. It smells like pot all the time. You know. Hold on a second. Yeah, my speakers just went out. Nope. Okay, I'm good. Anyway. So yeah, this building sucks, and I took it because I wanted to be close to Hammer. Now I'm going to be really close to Hammer. That was the whole point. And I did get some housing offered to me, but it was in like a really shitty area of Rockaway. Like, it was in Far Rockaway, and I didn't feel like getting stabbed on the way to the train station. And it's I like being around beach property, but it's it would be the same amount of time commuting too. It's not very close, so. I can literally walk across the street to the bus stop or not to another. There's two bus stops there. There's a bus terminal across the street where I'm going to be, and then down a block from where I'm going to be living, there's an actual bus stop. There's two different buses that go to where I have to go to work. And if I want to go to, you know, Manhattan, to the city, whatever, you know, every once in a while I'll use those, and it is what it is. But I can walk to, like, the supermarket, and there's an Aldi's there. There's, like, there's a McDonald's over here, over there. There's a UPS post office spot over here. There's a cool little donut spot. You know, McDonald's is over there. Like I said, I think there's a halal spot. Really good halal food if you're into that. I like the street meat. So the anniversary show will be those dates. I'll be in Chicago for the G1. The blocks have been announced already. The A block is Takeshita, Tsuji, Sonata, Shingo, Oleg Bolton, Hirooki Goto, Jake Lee, and either Great Okan or Hanare. And then block B is going to be Callum Newman, the champ, Shota Umino, Uemura, Narita, Drilla Maloney, ZSJ, Gabe Kidd, and again, either Great Okan or Hanare. So one of those guys is going to have one of those spots, so... Any other spots weren't announced yet, you know. So, I'm excited about the G1. I'm excited about seeing my boy Mott. And we'll be in Chicago. We're going to be in Milwaukee for a little while, too, with with the brain. So we're going to be all right. It's going to be a fun time, a couple of days out there. Haven't been in Chicago since the original All-In. All-In, All-Out, whatever the hell it was called. The original one that became AEW, all right? Speaking of AEW, Forbidden Door is the end of the month. Matches announced so far, it's going to be, I think, Ospreay and Swerve. The Owen Hart Women's Final Tournament Final. Omega versus ZSJ. And then just announced Thekla. Oh, I call it Thekla. It's Thekla or Tekla. Will fight one of our favorites from Japan. And Stardom, the Starlight Kid. The female Tiger Mask, if you ask me. Well, she will be the female Tiger Mask eventually. She's still doing her thing. And then there's a cage match, Briscoe and five of his friends versus MJF and Kevin Knight and four of his friends. So I'm not watching as much wrestling as I usually do because it's been playoff crazy here between the Knicks and the Stanley Cup. So I've been watching a lot of hockey, a lot of basketball, and just working a lot, actually. It's been really crazy busy at work. I've been picking up some overtime. Against my better judgment, but I need the cash. Daddy needs a new couch, you know? So I'll be watching some old clips. I did manage to get one of these. Remember I told you guys I got the N64 when I got back from Japan? I bought a bunch of games for it. I did get one of those cartridges that hold a bunch of games. I ordered it from, I think it was China, and it's got a lot of the, and all the N64 games on it. You know, like an emulator type of deal. And you can put more games on it. So I'm probably going to, once I figure it out, I'll have to have Hammer come over and do this with me. I could put the regular, I could put Sega games on it and other games. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, I was playing some Ken Griffey baseball yesterday. I was playing some virtual pro wrestling. I was, it was Kawada's anniversary of his passing. Not Kawada, I'm sorry, Misawa of his passing. So I was playing Misawa versus Vader. That was fun. That game is so those N64 wrestling games, you can't go wrong with any of those. And there's new ones now. These people are putting out new ones, like they're adding stuff to the old. There's like a Starcade edition for the WCW game, and I'm like, that's what got my interest in buying one of these things. I texted Hammer, I'm like, this can happen. He's like, yeah, if we have one of those things. I'm like, yeah, I think we can have to get one. And it's cool because you can put like the USB in there and just you can add it to the cartridge. You don't have to like open stuff up and take stuff apart. So. And I'm not very savvy with that shit anyway, so it doesn't matter, you know? So, yeah, so I was playing some of that yesterday. I had to pack it up soon, though, because, again, like, I'm moving and I have to be a grown-up. The best thing about me not going too far is that I'm not keeping a lot of stuff. I can throw a lot of shit out because it's old and I beat it up. That's one. Two, I'll have a lot more counter space, and I actually have, like, a real kitchen. I can actually cook and shit, which is pretty cool. So, I'm going to get all new kitchen stuff and new bedroom set, new bed for Augie, you know. And, you know, we're excited. I'm excited. He's not excited. He doesn't like to move. He's very, I feel bad every time I have to move him because he's getting older now, you know. It's like, so I promised him this probably might be the last move he's going to have to endure. And my thing isn't moving. Okay, it's moving now. Okay, I thought this one. Yeah, this computer is, it's not that, well, my shit is old, we wanted to tell you. The recording program, it had it recording, the numbers were moving, but the track wasn't moving, and I thought we stopped recording, so. That's one of the best things about doing this live. I could stop and fix it and go back and do other shit, whatever, but, what else is going on? What else has been going on? I saw Masters of the Universe. And I enjoyed it. It was corny. It was supposed to be corny, though. Like, you know, have you ever seen the cartoon, you know? And when they redo movies like this, right, I feel like you have to walk in there with, like, no expectations. Because the first He-Man movie was not very good, right? We all know that. and stuff from my childhood. When you watch it back, a lot of it's really corny, but it's just nostalgic. And I was, you know, it was fun to have to watch, and it was just as corny as the cartoon. And I enjoyed that very much. I enjoyed the all of it, you know, and the effects, and you know, it was good. It wasn't terrible, and it left you wanting more. They gave a sneak peek of there's probably going to be a sequel, maybe several sequels when you look at it. And rightfully so. And Amazon did the movie, so I'm sure they'll add a couple of movies to it. They'll probably do a series, which is pretty cool. And, you know, it was like almost like mindless. It wasn't, you didn't have to figure anything out. You knew the premise. Like, it was exactly like the cartoon. Literally exactly like the cartoon. So I enjoyed that very much. It's going to be a good summer for movies. We got Supergirl coming out. There's, I'm excited for, I like those Minion movies. I like the Disney live action stuff, so Moana I'm looking forward to. Toy Story I'm looking forward to. Like, there's a bunch of, I mean, obviously Doomsday. Spider-Man, my favorite, is coming out in July, so I'm excited about that, mostly. The Avengers Doomsday in December. There's a lot of movies coming out this year, so I'm very, very excited about that. So when Tony texted me, I was on my way to work, and the Knicks had just finished two games in San Antonio, and they were coming back to New York, and they won game three, and then they lost the game four, and they won, obviously, last night, and I'll get into that in a couple of seconds, but when Tony texts me, he's like, "I'm, you know, expecting a philatorial." It was already in the works. Like, I already, like, yeah, I was already there. My social commentary. I'll always include wrestling in it. I'll try to anyway. I don't really go into politics or religion or any other shit. I did do a political one a bunch of years ago, but I think it was about the local politics. It wasn't about anything, you know, anything else, you know. And what I've noticed by not interacting that much online with people, unless it's a sports related or wrestling related or something silly related, like I noticed that my peace of mind is a lot better than it usually is. Because, I mean, when you debate with people that you don't know, it kind of like puts a damper on a lot of things. Like, you know, people are trying to convince other people about how they're trying to convince you that how you're thinking is not the way to think. And it's like, I don't know. And it's not like none of these conversations are healthy that I see, you know. And a lot of my older friends who I game with, they're very conservative. And they have no problem, not so much telling me in person, but they'll go online and post all their stuff. And I don't care. I mean, I'm just going to hang out with you afterwards anyway. So it's like, it's not a big deal. So, and I don't interact with folks. So it's, for me, I keep it a bean, and that's it. I don't really get into all this stuff anymore, because it's not even worth the time or the energy at this age of my life. I'm not gonna haggle with somebody about how I feel about what's going on with the world. You know what I'm saying? We still have to live here. We still have to coexist. We still have to be good humans and not be jerk-offs, and, you know, we still have to maintain a level of commitment to ourselves and to our communities and where we live and how we adapt and how we get by. You know, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do, obviously. If you don't want to adapt and you don't want to do what you want, I mean, then that's on you, which is fine. And there's a lot of people who've done that. They've cut themselves off from the world. They don't go on social media. They don't use a computer if they don't have to. I have a friend at work who's in his 60s and doesn't even know how to work his phone, you know? So it's like he's just cut off from the world. He'll use the phone to make phone calls and send text messages, but he doesn't, obviously he'll look stuff up, but he won't go on any kind of platform and engage because it's not worth it for him, you know? So I know in my heart that we're capable of great things, no matter what side of the fence that you root for. And I know that this country is the greatest country in the world. And I also know that no matter what happens, we always persevere. So it's not like this whatever's going on and you're not cool with it. It always gets better, progressively better, depending on where you are in life. You know what I'm saying? So all I ask is that people just respect each other. That's all. And you don't have to like anybody. You don't have to hang out with them. You don't have to pray with them. You don't have to vote with them. I just want you guys to get along. And it's sad because, like, last night when the Knicks clinched last night, a bunch of cops got injured and people got arrested. 60-something people got arrested last night. And those are people who just want to be seen and heard. They're not real fans, you know. They're not real fans. And this is the problem I have with then the stereotypes. Well, you live in New York City, you're a bunch of animals, you're a bunch of savages. And I'm like, not all of us who've been waiting over 40 years for a chip are feeling like that. I don't feel like I don't want to go and break up my city because my team won a championship, you know. And if I wasn't in my right mind, I'd probably have a reason to. Because I root for terrible sports teams. Historically, my teams are terrible. I am a New York Mets fan, orange and blue since 82. The Mets have won one World Series. They've lost two since they're 1-3 in my lifetime. And it's been rough. It's been rough as a Mets fan. It'll be 40 years this year. They haven't won a World Series. If you're a Yankee fan, the Yankees haven't won in almost 20 years. I think the last time they won was 2009. The last time the New York Rangers won, actually today is the anniversary of the 1994 Stanley Cup win, so 32 years ago. So the Rangers haven't won a chip since 1994. If you're a New York Islanders fan, they have not won a Stanley Cup since 1984, and I don't even think they've been in the Stanley Cup final since then. I have to double-check that, but I think I'm correct on that, okay? If you're a Nets fan, whether it's New Jersey or Brooklyn, they have not won a chip since 1980, I want to say 80 or 83, and that's when Dr. J was with the team, when the ABA left and joined the NBA, and the Nets were in Long Island. That's the last time the Nets were... The Nets did lose the finals in the early 2000s. They lost. That's when Jason Kidd, Kenyon Martin, and all Keith Van Horn, all those guys were on that team. So it's been over 20 years since the Nets have won a championship, okay? And more importantly, the reason why I'm doing this today is it's been 53 years since the New York Knickerbockers have won a chip, have won a championship. I was -1. I have a friend who at work who was born in 1973, but she was still in the oven cooking for a couple of weeks before they won the championship. So the Knicks did win last night in Game 5. They beat the San Antonio Spurs in San Antonio. And it's been a very emotional couple of weeks for me personally. Now, I do have a secondary NBA team. You know, guys all know I root for Sacramento as well. And that's another team that hasn't won a championship in over 50 years, 60 years. So they're on the top of the list of teams that haven't won anything, all right? And I root for the Kings because when the Knicks are terrible, I need a backup for basketball, you know? And I was like, all right. And I picked Sacramento because when I was a kid, we would play NBA Jam in after school in the arcade, and everybody wanted to be the Bulls, and everybody wanted to be the Knicks. And I was like, you know what? And my favorite player was Mitch Richmond. So he was on Sacramento at the time, so I just stuck with Sacramento, and I was beating kids like left and right with the Sacramento Kings. I don't know what happened to my monitor just died, and everything else was on, and I didn't know if I was still recording or not. So if you hear like a split, explaining my Sacramento Kings story, then that's why. So thank God for technology, because it always fails me, right? No matter what I do. No matter how nice my setup is, I'll never have nice things. So, yeah, so I would use Sacramento because everybody wanted to be the Knicks and the Bulls, and I didn't want to do, like, the Knicks versus the Knicks. That was corny. And so I just whipped people's asses with the worst team, you know. It was Mitch and Tinsdale, and I think Pete Chilcutt was the other guy? But I know he always used Mitch. Mitch was my favorite player growing up, and He played for Golden State, Sacramento. He did win a chip with the Lakers, I think, before he retired. So, but yeah, that was my guy. Anyway, so, you know, a lot of emotions with the Knicks. It's been primarily with there's like a couple of stories. It's like wrestling. It's like storylines, right? So I have a friend who's in his mid-60s, I think late 60s now, my buddy Jimmy Gobi. And I met Jimmy in EMT school. I was working at a tuxedo factory. And I was when you rented a tuxedo, I was the guy who was part of the department that puts the shoes together. Like when the shoes come back from the parties, I had to clean the stinky, dirty shoes. And then I had to buff them with this solution. And then put them back in a bag and put them back in the shelves. And then, you know, there was the other department was they pressed the cover buns in the suits. And then we put all the suits together. And then Gobi was the driver. And he would pick up all the suits and bring them to the smaller tuxedo rental places. So he was telling me that he lost his dad in 71. They had season tickets. And he kept the tickets for two more seasons. So him and his mom would go to the games and... He was there when Willis Reed walked hobbled onto the court and helped them win the championship, and he was there for the last championship, and he was a season ticket holder. Like, he's been a Knicks fan his whole life, and those are the guys. Like, my Uncle Junior, who's in his 70s, was a teenager when they won the championship. So it's like he lived and died with, and he got me into basketball. My father, more importantly, and actually around the time I met Gobi, was around the time my dad got sick. And I remember just, you know, my dad was, I don't know if I told you guys this. I probably did in friggin' 14 years of doing this shit. I probably told you guys about my dad a lot, but my dad wasn't around very much. But we did have a relationship later in his life, which I cherish so much. And he was a huge Knicks fan. And the last game we actually watched together as a family, him and I some relatives, was the 99 finals, which the Knicks were playing, ironically, San Antonio. And the Spurs were so good then, too. So, just like every time the Knicks are remotely good, I get a little emotional because that was my dad's team. And my dad was one of these old-timey gangsters. He didn't like using the telephone. Because even when he wasn't doing illegal shit no more, he just didn't like using the phone unless he was stoned out of his face or one of his teams would be winning a championship. And he would call my phone or he would call my answering machine and leave me these messages and throw stats at me and stuff. And with he always have a newspaper with him. And I went out to swimming. I bought the newspapers. I bought the News and the Post. It was something he would do, you know. But I know he'd be so happy with this team. And I've been... like an emotional mess all week because I knew when they won I was going to lose my mind, you know. Because, I mean, and you have to understand something. When you root for historically bad franchises that are poorly ran and they finally win a championship, it's like you have nothing to complain about no more for that team. It's like the Knicks can be bad forever now, and I would be like, well, at least it's someone win a championship. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, I root for terrible teams. I mean, I do root for the Vikings, who have never won a Super Bowl in their life. But when they're not playing the Jets or the Giants, I root for them too. Now, the Giants have been successful. 07, 11, I think they won the last chip. The Jets haven't won since 69. So, you know, it's just when you root for historically bad franchises, it's just when they win a chip, it's like a lift off your shoulders. Like, you know, it's like the ridicule and the finger pointing at when you wear the gear. It's like you're a Knicks fan, you're a Kings fan, you're a Mets fan, you're a Vikings fan. I'm like, yeah, you know, like either I'll get a compliment about the hat or the jacket or the sweatshirt or the hoodie or the jersey, or I'll get like you're a fan of that team. Ugh. And then, you know, no matter how I'm feeling that day, I have to explain myself to people. You know, so it's, I don't know. I'm okay with it now. I'm older. I felt like I had to constantly defend my teams, you know, and I don't defend my teams anymore. Like, just, I go with it, you know. But I was, last night they weren't playing very well. Both teams weren't playing very well at one point. It was a very low-scoring game at one point. And by the third quarter, I was at someone's house. I'm like, I'm just going to go home and watch the rest of this because, you know, it's late. And I know if they do win, I'm going to be a mess, and I don't want to be a mess in front of people. So, of course, while I'm crying, one of my old coworkers is FaceTiming with me, and she's been talking to me all week for the last 2 weeks. And she's crying. She now lives in South Carolina. She's like, well, I got a lot of driving to do, I guess, huh? Because the parade is now on Thursday. And I said, yeah, you know. And it's something that I feel like I have to do, you know. Do I want to sit with 2 million people? Probably not. No. Do I want to travel in that heat? No, probably not. But I'm really doing it for my dad and my uncle and my buddy Jimmy. I think hopefully Jimmy will be there. I don't know if my uncle will come out. I don't know if his health will allow it. But I know my buddy Jimmy will probably be there too. And it's like the city is electrifying right now. There was some nonsense last night, like I said, but other than that, there's been so much buzz about the Knicks. It's been crazy, you know. And for me, like I said, it just has more meaning to it, and everybody has a story. Obviously, that's why I like it's like wrestling. And in the storylines that the team had, Jalen Brunson, the MVP, took a $100 million pay cut. His dad is an assistant coach. His dad played on the last championship team that lost to the Spurs. He was a backup guard. Anunoby, he was on the Raptors a few years ago when they won the chip, but he didn't play because he was hurt. So, you know, there's a bunch of, I mean, we made some trades for, we traded a bunch of draft picks, top draft picks for, I think, Bridges. And they were cursing that like last year, but that turned out really well, you know. And Mitch Robinson stepped up, and I mean, Carl Anthony Towns is a superstar, you know. But when he's in foul trouble, they put Big Mitch in there, and he handles it. So, I mean, it was a very defensive struggle. It reminded me of a Pistons-Bulls defensive series, like, you know, Pistons-Celtics from the 80s, late 80s, that stifling defense and a lot of illegal hands and elbows and getting thrown. And the refs in the last game were terrible. This game, they were a little better. And, you know, it's like wrestling, you know. The ref didn't see it. The ref didn't see that. The ref didn't see that, you know. And there's two referees, you know. So I was like, man, this is some bullshit right here, you know. But they did it. And it took me a couple of minutes to let it, like, when my friend called me, I was like, it's hard to process. Because you're not used to that. Like, Yankee fans are used to that. Even though the Yankees haven't won in 20 years, the Yankees have won a ton of championships. So Yankee fans are, like, they're kind of spoiled because they win a lot, you know. Now they're getting restless, though. Can't blame them there. I think it's, like, 16, 18 years, whatever it is. My math is terrible, so. But I know they haven't won since 09. So it was 09. Yeah, so it's been, yeah, so it's been 16 years, right? 17 years, whatever it is. But anyway, so.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, Castbox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
You're looking at the four horsemen. We're back together. Rhodes, you make the biggest mistake of your life by even staying in wrestling. You should have got out. You got two chances now. One is to stay out. The other is to get yourself crippled so bad that even your papa the plumber ain't going to know you when we get done rearranging your pipes. You take a look at all the people that have tried to help Dusty Rhodes. What's the name? The Rock and Roll Express. Well, here, we got a nose on the other end of this one. We take care of you, Ricky. We go to Robert, and we go to the most important man, the American Dream, the one that everybody believes the sun rises and sets on. Did you really think that you were going to get rid of the horsemen? Did you really think that Ole Anderson was going to go off to the sawmill and sit for the rest of his life? I tell you this, Rhodes, there's no way that it's going to be over. I know it now. No way it's going to be over until one of us. And right now, you're looking at the burial team. You're looking at the team that's got the shovels. We got the plot of ground out there, and you might as well realize it, and everybody in the world better realize it. This ain't no joke. This ain't no funnin'. This ain't no April Fool's. I'm as serious as I can be. We're going to get rid of Dusty Rhodes. You bank on it. You go down, you can bet on it. I don't care who helps him. I don't care where. I don't know when. All I know is going to be done. And right now, we're going to do a little celebrating because the four horsemen are back in
business. The unity, boys. The unity. The four horsemen. Yes. 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 I thought I was- was next. I thought I was next. Ha!
Hey, I'm Matt Jackson.
I am Nick Jackson.
We're the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
I just cut you off.
Yeah, you just cut me off.
You are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwback on Rant EM Radio.
Rantum Radio, Nick.
Rantum. Rant EM.
You'll have to keep that one.
Think about when, I apologize about that. My monitor keeps like going into save mode, like power save mode. It keeps going off by itself. And I don't know why. It's plugged in properly. All my wires are connected properly. I don't know why this is happening. But of course, it wouldn't be a Turnbuckle Throwbacks if something didn't happen to my shit, right? So anyway, getting back to the Knicks. So, you know, again, a lot of emotions. And like, the older you get, the more nostalgic you get, obviously. But, you know, not having my dad with me the last several years of my life, I feel like he's missing out on so much. And he would be so happy with this team, man. Like, ridiculous. He'd be so happy with this team. And the way they would just, they just never quit, you know. And he'd be beside himself. And I could just see him calling me, like, randomly, like, you know, some ungodly hour in the morning, because he was getting dialysis at that point, and his dialysis schedule would keep him up a lot at night. So he would call me, like, random hours, even if I was sleeping. And he'd be like if the Yankees or the Knicks play, like, a West Coast game, you're like, oh, man, you know, that Oakland game was crazy. And he'd be like, he'd leave, like, a box score on my answer machine or on my voicemail on my phone. Because back then, like, cell phones were still new. Like, so, and a lot of times, like, if you were sitting in a certain spot, your reception would suck. You'd have to have, like, an antenna up and stuff like that. So, sometimes I wouldn't even get these messages. You know, they would just go right to voicemail. And thank God, too, because he would talk. He wouldn't call me for, like, 2 months. I'd have to call him every week. But he wouldn't call me for 2 months, but he would call me during the game, like, you know. So I kind of miss that. I miss all that. And I just miss having him around. You know, we didn't have wrestling. You know, when he was a Yankee fan, I was a Met fan. He didn't dislike the Mets as much as I disliked the Yankees. He was like a New York guy, rah, rah, rah. But he lived and died with his teams, you know, with his Giants and his Yankees and his Knicks. He didn't care about hockey. He liked watching me play hockey, because I was reckless. But if the Islanders were good or the Rangers were good, he would root for them. You know, he was a New Yorker. And a lot of fans of New York teams would just root for New York teams. They don't have a team, you know. Or they're like my dad, who has eight or several teams, but they'll still root for the other teams anyway. You know. But I'm in a different generation, so I was kind of like, nah, screw that. I mean, I'll root for the New York football teams if they're not playing my Vikings. You know. I will definitely root for the Nets if they aren't playing the Knicks. Or Sacramento. That was the last basketball game I went to, by the way, was Sacramento and the Nets. And Sacramento beat them soundly. I had gotten those tickets when I got back from Japan, so I didn't like that. I don't like that arena either in Brooklyn, that Barclays Center. That place sucks for basketball. And I don't know. I don't like that building at all. It's just something about it I don't like. So, but the Mecca is getting a trophy, you know. Madison Square Garden, with the lineage that this team has, there should be banners draped all over Madison Square Garden, and there isn't. And I don't want to go into a tirade about why. But if you're from New York and you know why, then it's, this is a big deal. And basketball has been a staple in New York since the 40s, maybe the late 30s, maybe. There's a lot of history in New York basketball, a lot of amazing Hall of Fame players and coaches came from New York. But the game itself revolutionized in New York. That style of football, the style and that it forte'd in, and you know, it's just there's levels to it, man. When you go, if you ever get to go to the Hall of Fame for basketball in Springfield, Massachusetts, you can see the lineage that New York basketball has. So when the Knicks should be winning all the time, and they're not, and it's for a plethora of reasons. but either way, it happened finally, and there's a lot of happy fans right now. And on top of that, it's the Puerto Rican Day Parade today. So there's going to be a lot of Puerto Rican Knicks fans conceiving a lot of children this week. So, and it's really hot outside. So there's a lot of factors going into celebratory stuff, you know. So it's a happy time right now in New York, outside of the bullshit that happened last night with a couple of cops getting hurt and like there's like several dozen people were arrested for being assholes, and that's not what my city's all about. My city's a lot of things right now. Trust me, it's a shell of what it used to be, but it's still my city, and it's still my home, and I was born and raised here, and I'll defend it until I die, you know, even if I moved away. I don't like it. I don't like living in it right now. I don't like traveling in it. I don't like the people in it. I don't like the politics here. I don't like the bullshit here. I don't like the mean people here. I don't like the gentrification of neighborhoods. There's a lot of things I don't like here. I don't like they're closing all the churches down because of, like, nonsense. But there's so many things that are going on I don't like, but it's still my city. And I'll rep it till the day I die, you know. And the history that it has with sports is it speaks for itself between baseball and football and hockey and basketball, you know. And you know, original teams were formed in New York with basketball, with football, hockey, you know, from New York. So New York had first franchises in almost every sport, you know. So I mean, it's hard not to, you know, even if you're not a fan of that team, unless you hate New York, you can't help but root for that. You know what I'm saying? So it's that kind of party. My whole thing, for me, like I said, it's the nostalgia part of it. Like, I just wish my, you know, if I know that my dad, like I said, he'd be beside himself. And I know Gobi's happy. My uncle's happy. And there's a lot of, I'm getting texts from people like, congratulations. Like, I won the championship last night. Like, the congratulations, I know you're a fan. Congratulations, I know you're, like, they know, like, you know, that I live and die with my sports teams. Like, I live and die with wrestling. Like, you know, you root for your guy, you root for your girl in wrestling. It's like, those are your guys, those are your girls. No matter how old they get, no matter how bad they get in the ring, you still root for them because they're your people. You know, that's what the Knicks are. I mean, I'm seeing my favorite Nick traveling with the Knicks. Like, Patrick Ewing is my favorite Nick. And he's been traveling with the team. And all the old Knicks from the 94 team was with them, too, like Oakley and Starks. And I saw Charlie Ward the other day, Allen Houston from 99. Like, but I saw Patrick last night with the trophy, and I was like, I started crying. Because if anybody deserves a chip, it's Patrick. Patrick didn't. And he didn't play in 99. He got hurt. And then he wound up leaving after that. But that dude gave his heart and soul to the New York Knickerbockers, and he should have won a championship, and he didn't. So Pat exemplified what it is to be a New York player. People don't want to come here, players, I mean, to New York because they don't like the media and they don't like the big city feel. They don't like all that attention on them and the scrutiny that comes with it. I mean, you're a New York team. The fans hold you to an expectation. That's why, another reason why it's so big when they win. Because there's expectation of winning. Ask any Yankee fan, they'll tell you that. You know? But when you root for a team that hasn't won in 50, 60 years, meaning the Jets and the Knicks, it's like, man, just getting that monkey off your back. But the people that you lost along the way who were fans with you, like grandparents, parents, uncles, aunts, cousins, that are no longer with you, that hurts. One of my closest friends died a couple of years ago. My buddy Jay, I talked about it on the show, and Jay was with me the night the Rangers clinched the cup. He went to pick me up to go out that night, and I was wearing my jersey. I was sitting in my living room wearing a jersey. It's almost 90 degrees outside. I'm wearing a Rangers jersey, and he came. He's like, "Ready to go?" I'm like, "No, I'm not ready to go." And when they clinched, I had to go to some people's houses and hug some people before I took my jersey off and went out that night. You know, he was with me when the Knicks were in a championship and OJ decided to kill his wife and take the Bronco and cut the, you know, cut the footage in half. And he was with me. We were watching that stuff, you know. All right, I better cut this off before my screen goes again. I'm losing my mind here. I don't know why it keeps going into fucking save mode. It's just ridiculous. But yeah, all these memories come back, you know, and I had a couple of hours last night. I had to process it. Like I went out this morning and got the newspapers, like my dad would do, like I said before, and I'm just trying to, like, you know, wrap my head around it. I'm watching the news, and I'm watching all the news reporters wearing jerseys, and like the city's gonna be a buzz. So I hope this happens to your city, unless I'm not a fan of your city, its team, but I hope it happens to your city eventually. But unless they're a rival to my team, I don't care. I hope you guys have it, you know. All right, so I'm gonna wrap this up. So I covered that. I covered the G1, AEW. Look at my list here. Anniversary show will be announced sometime this week. I'm just waiting for my buddy to tell me when he's actually moving so I can move into the apartment. He's waiting to get his home, so I'm waiting for that. So do me a favor. Please subscribe to the podcast if you want to. Email us at turnbucklethrowbacks1@gmail.com. At TBuckleTbacks on Instagram and Twitter. I'm fairly active on these platforms, and obviously Phil Rea on Facebook and Instagram as well. But I want to thank everybody who reached out. I want to thank everybody who's still asking about the podcast. I want to thank everybody who's still, you know, listening and sending me ideas. I have a really cool project coming up for you guys in a couple of months. And it's no secret, but I'm work. Mott Spock and I are working on an AWA project, a little series that we're going to have going on that we're going to cross promote with his podcast and my podcast. So it's going to be fun. We exchanged some footage this weekend, and I'm going to see him in July. So we're going to get together and do some episodes of AWA, because it's such a great territory, you know. So be on the lookout for that. I'll announce that. I'll announce the anniversary show. Maybe I'll announce the AWA project on the anniversary show, when we're going to have the dates and all that, and what we're going to, is there a name for it? Is it a separate podcast? I probably won't be a separate podcast. It'll probably just be like just us, you know. So that should be cool. I'm excited about that. And I'm going to go celebrate this week. I'm going to celebrate all week, and I'll be at the parade. So I want to thank you guys again for still contributing and still tuning in and showing me some love. It's appreciated. And maybe with the new apartment, I'll be, I'll be invigorated. Maybe I'll make more episodes, and I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't want to predict anything. So you guys have a good rest of your day, your week, your month. I love you guys. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Please be a good human. And remember that it gets better. Just be better than you were yesterday. That's the goal, right? So you guys are awesome. And I love you, Dad. Go Knicks.